This is Pastor Talk, a weekly podcast designed to help Christians navigate a variety of issues. Thanks for joining us as we promote Christian thinking and the glory of God. Welcome back to a new recording of Pastor Talk. We're glad to be back doing this again. We've had a break for several weeks now.
Yeah, there's a good reason for that, I think.
Well, really, we haven't recorded a new episode in 2 weeks. Did you know it's been that long?
Yes.
You were gone to...
Oh, I went to Mexico. Couldn't record then.
Didn't record that week. And then last week...
Something special happened in your life?
I had a baby. Actually, my wife gave birth to the baby. But it's my baby also. It's split 50-50. And... Yeah, she entered the world last Wednesday, a week ago.
Happy birthday, 1 week.
Almost. She was born at 3:44 a.m. So her name is Adeline Grace. She is a joy. Mama is doing well. Baby's doing well. And big sister is doing well. So
that's awesome.
It is. It's a blessing. And I'm thankful to God for her. And the joy that she does absolutely bring us, she is truly a gift. I'm a very blessed man.
Right.
We are here practicing our social distancing rules.
Isn't that truth? This is a big old table we're sitting at.
And we're sitting at it long ways.
End to end.
Yeah, we might be over 6 feet, which is what they're recommending now.
Sure.
They're saying more like, you need to be more like 18 to 23 feet away from others.
Wow.
Yeah, they changed their... suggestion, or I heard that today.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't follow it. I guess
we could record in Fellowship Hall and line up several tables.
Set 400 feet away from each other.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're doing our best. It's kind of different for us, but
well, sure.
That's okay. Last week, we did do a live time. We went live on Facebook. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
You did.
And
yes,
not
you did.
There's not a we there either.
Yeah.
It was our first, well, my first live time on Pastor Talk. Anyways, I think we're going to try to do that again next week.
Probably in the evening hours.
One of the evening hours. Anyways, check our Facebook and Instagram pages for that announcement because it will be better with Larry joining me and... You guys can think of questions. It was really cool to interact with people while being live because you can see their comments. You can see who's watching.
Oh, okay.
You can, you know, kind of, I don't know,
interact. I was a complete slacker. I didn't even listen. Was it good?
The questions were good, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, back to normal format today, somewhat,
right.
Minus our social distancing.
Isn't this an older question that's came from like 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago.
It's been in the bank. It's a good question. It's been in the bank. I don't remember how long it's been in the bank, but not very long. And it deals with, well, I reached out to Madison. I said, how's the question exactly worded? She said, it's not really worded as a question, more like a topic or a statement or a suggestion. But
okay.
the phrase that they want us to discuss is the phrase, once saved, always saved. Is that an okay phrase to use?
Talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
It is a phrase that I would like to modify to some extent. I would say once you have been truly saved, you will always be saved.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, kind of goes along. You can shorten it down. That's the abbreviated version, I guess. So I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah, that's, I want to say traditional. It's traditional now, Southern Baptist phrase. It's not a historical phrase by any means.
Right.
But in the last 7,500 years or so, we've seen that phrase be used in Southern Baptist circles.
Right.
It is a less than accurate phrase, I don't like the phrase, but the principle behind the phrase is right.
Right.
Southern Baptists believe that a person cannot lose their salvation.
Right.
And that's what that phrase is trying to communicate. But the objection to it, and people even within Baptist circles recognize this, is that it seems to give a license to sin.
Well, and it also, I think, creates a false hope in some people.
Yes.
Because they say, well, you know, I did pray. I went down the aisle when I was 12, and I was sincere.
Right.
And I prayed, and I said the prayer. I wanted Jesus to save me from my sins, and I didn't want to go to hell, and I wanted to go to heaven. And so I prayed, and so I'm good.
Right.
But then their life from that point on doesn't reflect that right. Jesus is in their heart or that they love him.
It's that phrase that prevents many people, many Baptists, from examining their faith to make sure they belong to the faith, examining their salvation to make sure it's real.
Right.
Don't call me to doubt. Don't call me to examine. Don't call me to question, because once saved, always saved. I can't lose my salvation. And so they don't even test themselves to see if their conversion is real.
Maybe they don't want to test themselves because there's some stuff in their life that they want to live with.
Right. So it tends to be more of a cop-out phrase when we use that language, that terminology.
Right.
Even other denominations who don't believe that salvation is eternal, they do believe you could lose it, they level that charge against us. You're just giving a license to sin.
Right.
A ticket out of hell.
I think truthfully people are just seeking peace in their life, knowing that God is theirs, they are God's, they are redeemed. Yep. They will not have to take the punishment for their sins, that Jesus took that for them, and they want to live at peace with that acceptance of Christ that they did earlier in life.
Absolutely. We all want that.
Absolutely, I do.
But there's a better way to say it. So the historical way in the historical Christian faith as a whole that this has been communicated is the perseverance of the saints.
Persevere is a good word.
Perseverance of the saints is the phrase you'll find in Orthodox historical theology, the great writers throughout church history, great church fathers, men and women. They use that phrase because they're communicating that if you are a saint, if you're born again, then God will persevere you through to the end.
And you will persevere in your right. obedience.
Yeah.
You'll be constant in your obedience. You will always be loving God, always be seeking to walk in obedience.
Right. So that phrase communicates the same principle, that you won't lose your salvation, you won't walk away from the faith. But it adds that element. You won't walk away from the faith. You'll
right.
persevere. You'll endure. You'll make it to the end.
Right. I was thinking about the Holy Spirit sealing you until the day of salvation, until
yeah.
eternity, when you receive Christ as Savior and the Holy Spirit enters your life, and then you're sealed. You're
yeah.
locked in.
Yeah. Ephesians 1. That's really good. So the better way, I think, to say it is that those who are saved will persevere to the end.
And if they don't?
They're not saved.
Because you see a lot of people, you can tell it by the story of the soils.
Yeah.
You know, some received God with gladness, but then the worries of the world or lack of depth or whatever made them fall away.
I mean, Scripture doesn't mingle words. There's going to be false faith all the way to Judgment Day.
Right.
Matthew chapter 7, people are crying out to Jesus, didn't we do this and that
right.
and this in your name?
Absolutely.
I mean, the false faith is going to abound. It's a reality. There's many people around us that have false faith, think they're saved when they're not. But
right.
those who are truly...
I have some people that I really care for and love tremendously that I think are in that boat.
Yeah.
Because I've known them all their lives. And I'm just afraid that they accepted Christ right off the bat and really thought that was it. And then, but from that moment on, their life never really showed that they were believers.
Yeah, and you know, I think we even, I think we begin down this path of that we're on right now, where with the things we're talking about, with beginning at that very point that you said. So forever, I guess, for as long as I can remember, I've grown up with that phrase, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Right.
And that really concretes in your mind a shallow view of Christ.
Okay.
And I think it's very important for us to start communicating. I really actually think it's very important that we start communicating that Christ doesn't need your acceptance. He calls you to obey. And obedience means submission, and that means obeying the gospel and submitting to his will of salvation. So when I talk to somebody about being saved, I don't use that word accept. I use that word submit. You want to submit your life to Christ.
Right.
You want to trust in Jesus. I just think we set our minds on this bad trajectory when we start off saying accept Jesus, because then it's all about me. I'm in control. I have the authority. It hinges upon me. So then I could lose my salvation or...
Because if it's up to you to get right and accept, then you could get wrong and reject.
Right. Now, I don't want to be overly dogmatic about that, but I do want to bring that to people's attention. And I think we set people on the wrong path.
Yeah, we kind of covered that a little bit last time we got together.
We did?
Yeah, wasn't it the assurance of salvation, the Calvinism, and going through those points?
I remember that now, but I don't remember the assurance part. But that's the last point of Calvinism, P, perseverance of the saints.
Oh, so it's an acronym.
It is, TULIP.
Okay.
You've never heard of that?
No.
TULIP is total depravity, U is unconditional election, L is limited atonement, I is irresistible grace, and P is perseverance of the saints. That's just a catchy way to remember the 5 points that aren't originating with Calvin, come long after Calvin.
Right.
But of what have become known as Calvinism.
Okay.
Anyways,
I actually got to, once we decided what we were going to discuss, I listened to a little bit of John MacArthur's sermons. He had 2 sermons on Romans 8:28, and they're very good.
Johnny Mac.
Yeah, that's what my friend Jerry calls him, Johnny Mac. But anyway, he kind of was stressing the point that a believer is going to love the Lord with all of his heart, is going to love Jesus and obey his commands. That is a sure sign that someone is a believer, that they love Jesus, pursue him, pursue knowledge of him, love God, pursue him, and study his word because you want to learn more about him, and then walk in obedience. If you're doing those things, you are a believer.
But as we just talked about before we hit the record button, obedience to the commands of the Lord are hard.
Yes, and we can't do them perfectly.
So there's this twofold element that takes place when we talk about the perseverance of the saints. There's the effort we put into it, which is itty-bitty, minuscule. If at all. And then there's God who keeps us when we fail.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we were playing this argument, again, before we hit the record button.
Yeah.
That if we say salvation hinges upon our obedience to the commands of the Lord, if we say that alone, then we're saying we can lose our salvation every time we're not obedient.
Or that we could just be obedient enough to make it.
Or that we're never saved because we're never obedient.
So it raises some questions, doesn't it?
Well, I think we have to preface it or add to that statement that even in our sin, Christ keeps us. But there is a pursuit of obedience, a desire,
absolutely,
longing for obedience.
And then when you are disobedient,
there's repentance.
There's a Holy Spirit to convict you, to bring you to a point of repentance.
Yeah.
Which is very comforting, because that's the Holy Spirit's not going to convict you if you're not a believer.
Mm.
Well, you know, I'm not, you know what I'm saying. I think, you know, at before salvation, who else can convict a lost man of his sin? The Holy Spirit, that's his job.
Yes.
So, but after salvation, the Holy Spirit still uses conviction, is that the right word?
Yeah.
To bring us right back in line when we stray.
Yeah.
When we do.
If you're not convicted at your disobedience, that's a probably really surefire way of saying the Spirit of God doesn't live in you, which is to say you're not saved.
Right. If you disobey and no one's convicting you that you're doing something wrong.
Right.
Yeah, that gets to the point where you're living in sin and enjoying it, and that's definitely not that is definitely a sign that you're not a believer and that your eternity is going to be the lake of fire, not heaven.
Right. So our love, as Johnny Mack is saying, our love for the Lord and our obedience to the Lord are expressions and ways of looking at, measuring, examining our faith. But perfection is not that standard because we're not perfect.
That's true.
And so Christ does hold us. I immediately thought when this question came into the bank of John 10.
Okay.
Can I read that?
Jeez, yeah.
Jesus is speaking in John 10. Verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." There's obedience. "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So nobody's taking our salvation from us. But the objection I've heard in this passage is, but you can take yourself out of God's hand.
Yeah, I've heard that.
As if somehow you're not included in that word all.
Right.
But the point here is Christ saying, your salvation as my sheep is secure. And he calls it eternal life because it's eternal. If it was life that could come and go, it wouldn't be eternal life. Eternal life means it lasts for eternity.
Right.
And then he says, no one, or they will never, never perish. The sheep of Christ are secure with Christ. And Hebrews tells us why. Can I read some more verses?
Oh, please do.
Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to skip around quite a bit. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Mm-hmm. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?"
Did you read 15, or are you going to?
I will.
Okay.
"Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." That's good.
That is good.
I jump down to verse 23. "Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have to then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. And then a few more. Chapter 10.
Cool.
Verse 11. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until he should make his enemies a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So here's what I'm doing in reading all that. I'm saying John 10, Jesus says, the sheep, my sheep, they're secure in me. They have eternal right. life. They're never going to perish. Why? Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10, because my sacrifice was sufficient and my power is strong enough to keep them. That is praiseworthy. I mean, that's glorious news.
Yes, it is.
Christ's sacrifice was sufficient to cover our sins, to take away our sins, and his power is strong enough to keep us for all eternity. We don't fall away if we are truly in the hand of Christ.
And we can rest secure.
Yeah.
Because it's not up to us.
Right.
I'm glad it's not.
Right. So if salvation were up to us, then like you said earlier, we could lose it at any point. In fact, we would never gain it if it was dependent upon us.
I would live a life of insecurity.
Yeah.
Not a life of peace and joy.
Right.
Man, I hope I'm saved. I've had a guy respond that way.
I know.
I said, are you a believer? Are you saved? And he said, well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. What a blessing it is to be able to understand God's word when it says you will be saved. You will be saved. You know, when God calls you and he turns your heart to love him with all your heart.
John 3:16.
Yeah, that's a very good one. In fact, I had that written down.
Can't quote
somewhere.
It.
Well, yeah, but I want the other ones too.
Well, I guess the point that we're making here is if you're saved initially by the grace of Christ, then you're kept in salvation also by the grace of Christ. You're not falling away.
Right. Well, let me read the 14, 15, 16, and 36 of John 3, okay?
Okay.
As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So that whoever believes in him, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him.
Yeah, so like you said earlier, believe, eternal life. Believe, never perish. Believe, eternal life. That's the teaching of Scripture.
Right.
We could spend a lot of time going into this. This is by no means an exhaustive look at the subject. We think the overwhelming evidence of Scripture is very clear that if you belong to Christ, he will see you through to the
right.
end. I guess coming back to the original subject, that phrase, once saved, always saved, I don't think adequately serves its purpose. It communicates a principle, but it often makes other things foggy or confusing. The best way to communicate what we're trying to communicate, that a person doesn't lose their salvation, is that phrase, perseverance of the saints.
Right. I agree.
I agree.
Romans 8. 29.
Oh, yeah, this is great.
For those whom he foreknow, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many believers. Brethren. And these he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And in verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, the list you mentioned a while ago, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. It's a great text to end on.
Right.
Well, you know, when we do some of these subjects, there's so much that could be said. When we come to the end, I feel like we just haven't said enough.
Well, there's so many things you could say about this subject.
Right.
There's just, I asked for scriptures on Google, and I cheat.
Google, ugh.
But it gave me pages of scriptures. And it lets you know that they're just, the Bible's full of assurances that salvation is real, that salvation is will not go away, that you can't make yourself saved and you can't make yourself unsaved.
Right.
God can save you.
Yep.
And he promised he'd keep you.
Yep. So there may be more questions that come from this, maybe more questions than answers. Maybe we've been as clear as mud, somewhat confusing. Ask us another question. Resubmit this if you want more on this. I think it's a good subject to discuss because we want people to know this isn't a license to sin.
Absolutely not.
This isn't an excuse to never examine your faith. The scripture tells us to test ourselves, to make sure we're actually born again. That's actually not a bad thing. It's hard, but it's not bad. So if there's other questions that pertain to this, we want to know. Send them our way.
Right.
If there are other questions that don't pertain to this, we also want to know them. You can also send them our way. You can reach out to us via
our webpage.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. TrinityWeatherford.net.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
Whooped that one right out, didn't I?
One for
or
one.
Or we could do it on maybe Facebook.
Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
Or we could do it by snail mail.
Okay. Yeah.
No. I'll let you give the rest of the list. I want to say, no, that wouldn't be one of them. I just had one pass through my mind, but that wasn't it.
You have one of these.
Do I?
Yep.
How about through Instagram?
Yes, there you go.
Because I know that Madison posts on that quite a bit.
Yeah, so if you guys didn't know, Larry Jones actually has an Instagram account. I have no idea what your name on there is. Larry Jones?
Probably.
At Larry Jones?
I do not know.
I don't know. You can find it, though, and if you find it, maybe he'll give you a prize. I don't know.
Yeah, but, right.
He did mention the three ways, primary ways you can reach out to us, our website, Facebook, and Instagram. We'd love to hear from you there. On Facebook and Instagram, you can find us under Pastor Talk Podcast. Don't forget, next week we hope to be doing this live.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I think our plan is to interact with a subject matter and then maybe take some questions that pertain to it or don't pertain to it, whatever.
Anyways. Can we set a time? Because they're not going to know when to turn it on to look.
Exactly, which is why they need to like and follow our Facebook and Instagram pages.
So we can let them know.
So we can let them know. If you just listen on iTunes or our website, you really are missing out on some extra stuff. So we would encourage you to go like and follow those social media pages, and they will tell you what night and what time you can find you and I, Larry and I.
Yeah. I thought we were going to do it today, by the way. Kind of dressed up.
Yeah. I'm not going to go into that. Anyways, that's next week. I'm looking forward to it because I like the interaction. It was really fun last week for me.
Good.
Well, brother, you want to pray?
I will.
We'll wrap this one up.
Our Father, we are grateful for the salvation you've given us so freely. Freely to us, but not to you. You paid a terrific price that none of us can imagine why it was paid. Because we know in our hearts we're unworthy of your great love. We know that we're sinners and we were your enemies, and you brought us to make us your friends. So, Father, please give us guidance and direction in our lives. Help us to always submit to you, always submit to your commands. Help us to follow you with all our hearts. Help us to love you with all our hearts. Help us to reach out to those around us who don't know you, realizing the consequence is too terrific or too bad. So help us to be aware of that, so that as we go through life, we will reach out and help others find you, point them to you. Help us to present the gospel clearly so that you might save their souls. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.